your head, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh, yeah. Hello, listeners. Good afternoon to you. I hope you're having a wonderful day. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in beautiful downtown Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomenon, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle and beyond. Today, we have a very special guest on our program, the world's best pet psychic, Sylvia Fitzpatrick. We'll be contacting her. She lives in Texas. We'll be calling her shortly. She's able to talk to pets, both cats and dogs, frogs and fish, and anything else, whether alive in this dimension or those who've passed on in spirit. We'll be interviewing her for the first part of the show, followed by a half hour of calls from our listeners. And I do encourage you to call in. Our call-in number, if you'd like to jot it down now, toll-free in Western Washington, the number is 1-888-298-KKNW. Or 5569. For those who'd like to, who rather prefer calling in on a regular line, our regular line, or if you're outside Western Washington listening on the internet, our regular line is 425-373-5527. I first always like to give gratitude to the sponsors of the show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing lots of moral support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who initially helped make this show possible, and, of course, my angelic and earthly family, the Quest Bookstore in Seattle, the Leading Edge Bookstore in Seattle, the Viagra Crystal Book and Gem Store in Seattle. And at the beginning of each show, I try to have a little Out of This World to start off the program, story to tell to start the program. And today I'd like to talk about good thoughts. In the fifth dimension beyond this dimension, thoughts are things. And when you send good thoughts to people, it can and does help them out in different situations. Earlier this week on Tuesday, I was getting sick with the stomach flu. I didn't certainly want to be sick for today's program, and I had a lot of things to do. So I asked a friend I texted her. I said, "Could you send me some good thoughts so I'd feel better, get rid of this flu that was coming on?" And I'm not making this story up, friends, but within 5 minutes, my flu was gone, and it hasn't returned since. I've been in great shape since that time. So if you do know of somebody who's sick, who does need some good thoughts, please be sure to send them good thoughts, because good thoughts do matter. Well, with that, friends, we'll take a break here for a moment, and then we'll move on to our guest, to Sylvia Fitzpatrick. We'll be calling her in Texas.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events, both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Ho publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease, try to cure the problem. In the past, a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures. But essentially, it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades, where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, and published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is one of my, what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain the copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at forecasts dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain a shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and
hello, listeners. Welcome back to the program. You're listening to KKNW 1150 AM, coming from the studios here in Bellevue, Washington. We have as our guest a very, very special person today, Sylvia Fitzpatrick. Sylvia's in Texas. She's one of the world's best pet psychics. And I think what I'd like to do is just to have Sylvia tell you a little bit about her background and how she came to do what she does now. Sylvia, can you hear me okay?
I can, darling, and it's Sonia, not Sylvia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, darling. I do that all the time.
All right. I think I talked to someone named Sylvia earlier today, and I've crossed my wires, Sylvia and Sonia. Tell me, I read your book. Sonia, you were very nice to send me your new book, quote, "There Are No Sad Dogs in Heaven." And we were talking on the break a few minutes ago before going on air, and I was telling Sonia that it was a hard read. The book was a hard read because I was only able to read two or three pages at the time when tears started rolling off my face because the stories were so touching. And some books you can just whiz right through, but this one really is really hits you in the heart. How did you get interested in this area, Sonia?
Well, when I did my TV show on Animal Planet, Ted, we did a certain section there where I just talked to animals that were in the spirit world, and nobody ever turned they monitor it. No one ever turned their TV off when that was on. And now the majority of my business is people who are very sad when the time comes to put their animals to sleep. And many people, you know, find it very difficult because our animals, to animal lovers, are our children in fur clothes. And we just love them. And sometimes, you know, we love them more than members of the family, you know, sort of that are around us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where are they going? You know, some people haven't got any idea at all. Is it over? Will I ever see my animal again? And I've even had people say, you know, that have are they feeding my animal where it is? And, of course, when we go over to the other side, we're energy anyway. It's only the physical body that needs feeding. And I decided to write this book to help people and to get many people to understand where they've gone. Many people are very metaphysical, and they know that they go to the spirit world, and they know that life goes on afterwards. But each and every one of my stories in the book are true stories from my clients. And they're also different, Ted, as you know, when you're reading them. They can be amusing, mm-hmm. and they can be funny. Mm-hmm. And animals, you know, they just do not. There's no death. Mm-hmm. And many people just want to know this. And from the book, it's interesting because with my radio show, I have a radio show on Sirius and XM every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And a lot, last Sunday particularly, the weekend before, because I had James Von Prague last Saturday on Sunday with me.
Really?
But the people the week before were like, it was all passing over animals. Where have they gone? Is it time to put my animals down? And, you know, and then the animals come through and talk to them and tell them things that they would know and only know. But how I got interested in it was that's what made me write the book, because of so many people and so many clients that wanted to know, and they needed some sort of comfort and some way to know where they were going. Mm-hmm. But when I was a little girl, I was born with this gift. Mm-hmm. And I was born with a severe hearing loss, mm-hmm. and the animals, and I didn't speak till I was 5 years old, and I could always hear the animals. So the animals taught me their language, and I could also see animals in spirit. And I was fortunate enough to live in the country, and I was surrounded by animals, chicks, pigs, chickens, cats, dogs, squirrels, wild animals. So I was always talking to them telepathically. I didn't speak to people until I was 5, verbally.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I was born with the gift.
Well, you're very, very gifted, very, very lucky, and I feel so grateful to have you on our show today, because I know a lot of listeners, a lot of people listening out there, and what they're going to hear is simply amazing. In the acknowledgments to your book, I noticed that you said that your spirit guards are Dr. Thompson, Edgar Cayce.
Yes.
Harry Edwards, and St. Francis. Is that St. Francis of Assisi?
It is. It is.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
And Edgar Cayce comes through and he talks, you know, and we've got a healing circle out in the universe when animals are very sick.
Oh.
And Dr. Thompson and Edgar Cayce actually plug them in with a magnetic field line on the main head of the chakra and takes it out to the healing circle in the universe, where healing immediately goes through to the animal, because everything is working on magnetic field lines. Mm-hmm. When I speak to animals in Africa, it doesn't matter where I am, if I'm on my radio show, on the telephone, we all have direct links to them. And a lot of people don't realize that when they are going away on holiday or vacations, or they are still talking to their animals. They mm-hmm. they speak verbally to them, but telepathic communication, feelings and emotions, they speak always. I get feelings and emotions, mm-hmm. and I get images, like pictures, but they're images. If I was to say to you, could you tell me where the Statue of Liberty is? Mm-hmm. That's the sort of image that you receive from them, and they're transmitting out like radios, just as we are. Mm-hmm. So people are actually talking to their animals, even if they're not with them. And everyone is doing it, often without realizing, because you don't see into the spirit world with the physical eye.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
sense and feel. And many people will say, you know, when they after the animal has passed over into the spiritual realm, mm-hmm. they will say, I can feel and sense my animal around me. And that's absolutely right, because mm-hmm. when you feel and sense them around you, they are there. And they're no longer in the physical body, they're energy. But they are with you and around you. And although, you know, people will say, oh, does my animal miss me when they've gone over to the other side? And I'll say no, because they're around and with us all the time. Unfortunately, we miss them mm-hmm. so much mm-hmm. that physical body, when we can't touch it, and it's hard learning to live without mm-hmm. your animal.
Yes.
And we don't have a choice. We have to do that.
If you don't mind me asking, Sonia, to do a reading, for example, I've had a lot of cats and some dogs in my life. They're all my friends, my furry friends.
Who's the black cat?
There's a big cat called Big Boy. And he was a big gray and white cat.
He was very dark in color.
Yes, very dark in color.
He looks almost black in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And he told me he wanted to come back some years ago as a small gray and white dog, so I need to do that for him.
Well, you know, darling, it's interesting. People will often say, you know, because they'll often wait until you get the dog home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gradually go in energy-wise. Even if you get, people will often say to me, how do I recognize my dog if it's going to reincarnate and I go out and look for it? I said, you really don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Because they wait till the dog comes, you bring your new dog home,
mm-hmm.
and their energy will gradually go into it over a period of weeks and months. And the soul eventually will go back to the spiritual realm of that dog, and then people will often know when the soul enters into the dog, and you'll start seeing characteristics in the new dog. And that has been sorted out before they even come here into the spiritual realm, because we go back to the spiritual, it's going home, as you know, to the spiritual world. And when we go over to the other side, you know, we are with all the souls that we've been with in this lifetime and past lifetimes as well. So, you know, they make that pact before they come into the physical body, because we are working out karmas, and we know what our life, we choose a lot of things to go through in our life, working karmic things out, and animals do too.
Yes.
And so the animal that has been inhabiting that physical dog body or cat body will just return, and eventually, because the physical body is so hard and they passed over in their light body, and it's very heavy, the physical body, terribly heavy, after you've been in energy form, they take a little while to go in and out to adjust to that physical body and the vibrations, and then they eventually settle in, and that's when the other soul will go back to the spiritual realm, and it gives it permission to use his body while he's here.
Fascinating.
It's very fascinating, isn't it?
Fascinating. I was just wondering whether you're picking up any messages from my furry friend.
What, you mean Big Cat?
Yes, Big Kitty, uh-huh.
Big Kitty, there's also a striped kitty with him. Who's the tabby kitty?
Oh, yes, that's Sassy. That's my other kitty cat. I had her a couple of years ago, and then she had kidney failure, I'm sorry to say.
And she's coming in, and she wants you to know she loves you, and she sleeps on your bed. She said, tell him I sleep on his bed every night. And she said she was good at meowing. She said she was a vocal kitty. And she said that where did you rescue her from?
Well, actually, she wasn't being well taken care of. She was at my foster mother's house, Terry's house. And one day Terry said, here, I want you to take Sassy.
Well, she said it was the best day of her life. You rescued her, she said. And she said, and when she it didn't take her any time at all to settle in. And Big Cat just said to her, hey, be quiet. I'm supposed to be talking. And they're having this butter between them. But there's a number of cats over there, darling, of yours, Ted.
Well, I do like kitties. Let's see. Is there a white kitty cat with blue eyes?
Oh my God, that cat is beautiful.
Oh, isn't it? Isn't he pretty?
Yeah,
isn't he
very.
Pretty?
They often don't know if they're he or she's, you know. We know. But they just say to me, oh, I'm happy. That's all that matters. Because all the animals that I speak to and my clients that call me for readings, they all love their animals with a passion. With a passion.
Well,
and which one had a urinary tract problem?
Let me think. Oh, I think Goldie did. He was a Goldie kitty cat.
Kind
of short hair.
He's coming through now.
Oh, how sweet.
And he says he loves you and he sleeps on your pillow.
You know what's amazing? I'll get up in the morning. There's two pillows on my bed. And now it's answered why my other pillow's indented in the morning, because I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Huh.
But he sleeps up by your head, Goldie.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said you were the best dad ever.
Oh, how sweet. I've got
tears. And he said that when did you have a move, Ted?
Well, let's see. I moved from Olympia to north of Spokane in 99, and then from late 2000, I moved from north of Spokane to Moses Lake. So,
well, they want you to know that wherever you go, they move with you.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah,
how
they
sweet.
Don't. You know, some people say, oh, I've left my house. Are my cats still there? I said, no, they move with us. And they love it, Ted, because you'll be surprised. They can go everywhere with you. They can go shopping with you. They can go to buy clothes with you. And they're around us and with us all the time. And, you know, some of them love that when they can just go into another animal's body and don't actually, their soul, does they don't settle in it. They'll use another animal's body to go in and out because they love the fact that they can experience being in the physical form as well and feeling us touching and being close. But they also love it because they can go anywhere they like with us.
Oh, interesting.
And they do. They're around us and with us and spiritual people. And who's the gentleman that had heart problems over the other side that you knew in human form?
Well, let me see. Oh, Bruce. Bruce, my foster dad, of course. Yes.
He's coming through. And he's got a good sense of humor. And he's just coming through, Ted. And he said, you got on very well together.
Yes, of course. He was a wonderful man. Wonderful man.
Yes, and he said, and you were a wonderful young man, too, he says. And he's so happy to be talking to you. And he's got the cats over there with him. But there's also a dog over there, a small dog that's yapping a bit, used to yap a lot. Can you place that dog?
There was one dog that I had. There were two in Olympia. One was a beautiful German Shepherd and another smaller dog named Happy.
Yeah. And my God, what a good name for Happy. And the German Shepherd had the usual... He said the German Shepherd said I lived to be a good age.
Ah, yes. Well, when I moved over to the east side of the mountains, I really couldn't... Unfortunately, I couldn't care for him anymore like I wanted to. So I put him up for adoption. So...
Well, whoever had him looked after him, Bruce.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
And he's a beautiful dog.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Wonderful friend of mine. Wonderful friend of mine.
So, darling, we don't go anywhere on our own. People are with us and around us, and so are the animals. So there's no death, you know. It's no death at all and no separation. But we feel the separation when they're in spirit because we miss that physical body so much.
You can't...
And even I do. I have a lot of animals, a lot of rescue animals. Mm-hmm. And when they go over, I'm just like everyone else because I miss that physical body so much. I can talk to them. I can see them in spirit. I can feel and I can sense them around me. Oh. But it's never the same when we're still in the physical body and they have gone into the spiritual realm.
Yes.
Never.
Yes.
And it's wonderful when they do come back. And which of your cats used to pee-pee sometimes in the house?
Sassy sometimes would, I think.
Yeah, she said she used to pee-pee sometimes.
Right. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm like that too. And it's always good if you have any problems with your kitties. You know, if a problem changes, Ted, you know, like animals, there's usually a reason. If suddenly you've had a cat that has been really well-trained and use the litter box, and then suddenly you find it's not using the litter box anymore,
right,
and it's going outside of the box. One of the main reasons is that people don't always understand that we use a lot of chemicals in our home.
Oh,
and
right.
Animals love the smell of the soil and the trees and the grass.
Sure.
And that's going through our whole home. And it's a bit like you sitting in a room where all the cats have sprayed, because that's what smells nice to us does not to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what smells nice to them does not to us. So always look at you're using chemicals. Never, ever rinse the litter box out with disinfectant. Just wash it out with water and wipe it out with a cloth. And always keep the litter boxes very clean. But often it can be just something like that. It's either emotional or physical. So that's the first thing that you have to think about. What am I using? And the best thing you can use is a steamer for your floors, your kitchen floors, because you don't have to use any chemicals with those. And I use them over my wood floors too.
Oh, interesting.
And so, you know, think about, is my cat, or if they're not well, or they're getting older and they've got arthritis and they can't get in and out of the box, or they become, like people do when they get older, they get become a little incontinent. So, you know, you always have to make sure that the litter box is low and that they can get in and out of it.
Sure.
But so it's always worth, whenever an animal, you know, I get a lot of people say, oh, my dog suddenly... My two dogs suddenly got into a fight. This was last week. They couldn't work out. These dogs had got on so well together. And when I started talking to them, I could feel something being put on my neck. And I was really pleased that I had this different thing around my neck. So I said to it, what did you do? Which one has got something very special that goes on the neck? And she said, oh, he's got a gold chain. I said, yes, but when did you take that gold chain and put it on your other dog? And you'd never done it before. She says, Sonia, a few days before they had a fight. I said, well, how would you feel if you had a wonderful diamond ring and someone came along and gave it to someone else to wear? How would you feel? She said, I'd be upset. Right. I said, yes, you would. Right. I said, and that's what upset them, and that's what caused the fight. So I said, don't use, you know, put the chain back on the other dog and leave it as it was. And she emailed him and said, it's unbelievable, Sonia. Thank you, thank you. There's things like that. You have to be a bit of a psychiatrist when you have a number of animals and think, why is this happening? There's always a reason, Ted, when behavior changes. Sure. And it's usually, without the human realizing, the human's fault.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, a couple of questions just for friends. I have my friend Carol designs my website. I was just curious, do you see any animals around her, spirits?
Well, I need to talk to her because I have to get the link with her.
Oh, I see.
To direct with a person because she, you know, and I get that energy. So I always have to speak to the human companion the animal lives with because they know every little quirk about them.
Okay, good, good. Well, we have already people lining up to talk to you, Sonia, and I wanted to tell you first that the program is being endorsed today by the Tacoma Pierce County Humane Society. We're going to be bringing them on air here in a few minutes to do a little advertisement for them and help them raise funds for their shelter during the...
God, that's wonderful because, my goodness, they need that help. There's so many unsung heroes out there, darling, that, you know, equally as many of the people that are unkind to animals, there's also many people that do and work very hard to help animals. And, you know, giving a donation makes a big, big difference to the shelter.
Okay, wonderful. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break here. Please hold on, Sonia, and then we'll bring you back on.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
25, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Maher, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Candia Sanders. She's considered one of the best intuitive and energetic healers in the Northwest, and I'd like to introduce you to my audience. Candia, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the services you provide?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ted. I am an energetic healer and intuitive. I read the emotional, mental, physical, and sexual body, and then I align them for health and vitality. People come to me for relationships, for career issues, and most importantly, their health. And then, like I said, I can see into the body, and I do my magic and align them, and people come back happy and healthy and feeling alive and spirited.
Wonderful. You probably pick up where the medical profession leaves off, I assume.
That is my job.
Well, good. And, Candy, how long have you been doing this?
I have been intuitive since I was little, and I mean 4 years old. Medical intuitive in the 90s and the healing in the 90s. So I've integrated those into my work for the last nearly 15 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, friends, if you need the help of an excellent intuitive and healer, I strongly urge you to contact Candia. Her link's on my website, which is www.wix.com/out of this world. And I've actually had her do some work for myself, and I've been very happy, and I strongly recommend her to all my listeners.
What's the biggest impediment that holds people in the third world in poverty? Many people agree that it is the lack of opportunity and the means to move beyond a life of basic survival. Hi, I'm Gary Shipe, and every week on Spotlight, we bring you compelling conversation with local leaders. This week, we speak to Women's Enterprises International, a local group that endeavors to give women in the third world an opportunity of access to clean water, to an education, capital, and to a life of hope. Join me to learn more on Spotlight, Sunday mornings at 5 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, KKNW.
Hello, friends. My name's Ted Maher. I'm the radio show host of the Out of This World radio program. We focus in on psychic phenomenon and metaphysics. We have in a studio today one of the best astrologers and tarot readers in the Seattle area, Karen Winland. Karen, how did you become interested in this field?
Because I'm a control freak, like most of us. I need to know what's going on in life. And so tarot and astrology just answer those questions for us. Tarot is a present tense oracle. It talks about what's going on in life right now. And astrology looks at the big picture and says, am I headed the way I want to be? Am I being who I want to be?
Karen, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like a reading?
Show up at East West Bookshop every Friday. Or you can email me at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com. Again, you can reach me at East West Bookshop every Friday or at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com.
Thanks, Karen.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Need 35, 35. Ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to Out of This World with your host, Ted Marr. We're broadcasting from the studios of KKNW, 1150 AM out of Bellevue, Washington. And we have the world's best pet psychic on, Sonia Fitzpatrick from Texas. And Sonia, we have a caller, Mary from Tacoma. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. Hi. I'm so honored. I've read your book, and I've always wanted to talk to you. I'm so honored to talk to you now. Thank you.
Oh, darling, you're very sweet. What would you love to know about your animal, one in spirit or one that's with you? Who's the cat?
The cat. Well, a cat in spirit. I have one in spirit, and I have two here at home.
Yeah, they're telling me. They said that you're the best mum in the world.
Yeah.
And one of them said the other one's quite in charge. One tells me I'm in charge and the other one says I'm a little more laid back, Mary.
Yeah, that's probably true, but they're both very nice, sweet cats.
Oh, they're adorable and they love you and they said that they're in all the time and they love to sleep on your bed. And when did you change the food?
This morning. Oh,
yes. They said that you gave them a different flavor or something.
Yeah,
or what was that?
I gave my dog a different flavor and one.
Oh, he loves it. He's coming in. What's his name, Mary?
The dog's name or the cat?
The dog.
The dog is Bailey.
Bailey. He says that he looks after the cat and he's very good with the cats, he tells me.
He does. They are very good friends. They are
he loves them. And he says he helps you take care of them. Give me the name of your cats, Mary.
Tigger is the one, and Luna, who we also call Duchess, but Luna, we named her after our cat that is in heaven and passed away, who we missed terribly. And
darling, we never get over them, sweetheart. We get used to living without them. But I have to tell you that, what's the name of the cat in heaven?
That's Luna.
Luna. Okay, Luna. Let me see. Oh, God, darling, she's always around you. She said she got a bit thin before she passed.
Yes, she did. She was.
She said, I got a bit thin, you know, she said, before I passed, but I was still beautiful, and I was the most beautiful cat my mother had ever had.
She was. See, everyone always said, what a pretty cat. She was just a tabby cat, but she was beautiful. She really was beautiful.
Oh, darling, she's adorable, and she's over there. And she's with other animals over there, but she's with you and around you all the time. And there's another cat over there with her.
Really? I don't know.
Yes.
Our one cat, she was very close to my daughter. And it took her over a year. She still cries over Luna. And,
darling. I know. She says that she... And when did she used to rub up against you, Luna?
Usually
she was so affectionate.
Quiet. Yeah, she was very affectionate, very quiet. These other two we have now are much more playful and outgoing. She was very
They're happy,
shy.
And they run all over the house, they say.
Yes, they do.
They never stop.
And like you said, they love the smell of the trees. They're both sleeping under the tree right now. They just love the smell of the Christmas tree.
Oh, yes, and they love the fact, and they seem to think you've got someone coming.
Oh, yes, that's right. The kids are getting
off the
bus. Yeah,
they said we've got someone coming.
Yes, that's right. We do a lot.
And
so
she said, and we're going to be busy.
That's right. We have
and,
been.
And one of them said, well, I won't be around, but the other one said, I will be.
That could be.
So
could be.
I tell you, darling, they're really happy cats. But your dog also. Where did you rescue Bailey from?
We got him. It was really just the family out by the mountain. Really, they had puppies, and we found them in the newspaper. We found him in the newspaper, and just went out there.
He said that you fell in love with him straight away.
We did. Yes. We knew right away.
But the people that had him were very good with them.
Yeah. They seemed to be very good. Yeah.
Yeah, they were very good with them. And he said that he settled in immediately.
Yeah, we did. He was the only boy, too. But we knew right away, instantaneously, that was the one we were taking.
Well, you've been with him in many past lifetimes, Mary.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this isn't the first time your two souls have been together. And also, he's been in human form in past lifetimes. His soul has been in human form as well as animal form.
Really? Well,
you have a closeness with him.
Yeah, we have a connection. He's such a great dog. But this dog I had in the past, his name is Ben, and I had him for almost 16 years. He was a golden retriever husky mix, we understood each other's language. He understood English. I understood him. I didn't even need a leash. He was just the perfect dog. He was my soul dog. And, you know, my first...
Well, we love all our animals as much in different ways, but sometimes we connect strongly.
Well, Bailey is the perfect family. He's like part of this family. This dog was like my best friend for many years. So I'm just wondering, I guess my question is, am I going to see him again? When he passed away.
Oh, darling, he's around you and with you. And he also had trouble with his legs and arthritis before he passed.
Yes, he did.
Back legs, he said. I got very annoyed with them. They wouldn't work properly. That's what I love about animals. They don't feel sorry for themselves. And they also tolerate discomfort better than humans do.
Yeah.
And he was in your life. You've been with him again. We usually come back as soul families anyway. And Ben, he was like, when did he push his nose up against you? He's pushing his nose up against me to get my attention right now. And he's put his head on my knee.
He does. That's what he does. He's got that, you know, sitting. If he wants to be pet, he'd put his head under your hand. You know,
that's right. He'd let you know. And he said he used to just sit at you, in front of you and look at you. And when did you change your hair one time and you weren't too happy with it?
Oh, gosh, that could be many times.
But he said you weren't too happy with it, he said. And he just used to sit at in front of you and think how beautiful you were. And he used to follow you around everywhere.
He
loved going in the car.
He did. I could not go to a different story of the house without him following me. And when his legs
he was
bad,
at your heels constantly.
Yes. And when his legs were getting worse, I'd say, just stay there. I'll be right back down. And he would try to come up after me. So he just wanted to follow me everywhere. We went everywhere together.
He loved it. You said you'd visit people with him and everybody knew him.
Everybody knew him. Even people who didn't like dogs loved Ben. He was really great. But I miss him.
And he's just sending so much love to you.
Well,
oh, darling, he's sending so much love to you. And he was a good eater, he said. And when did he have a hamburger?
Oh, that's funny. I used to give him, we would go on a lot of road trips. I lived in Baltimore. We'd go up to New Jersey, and we stopped at the McDonald's all the time.
Mary, he loved it. He said he used to get French fries sometimes, too.
Yeah, well, they had the $1 burgers, and I was a vegetarian. I'd get the burger for him, and I'd get an
ice cream. That's me, too. I do that for my dogs.
Yeah, and then I'd share the ice cream with him. I'd give him, I would, eat the top and give him the rest. So
he said he loved that, and he loved chicken, too, he said.
Yes, he did. He did. And, in fact, he was very sick once, and he didn't eat for a very long time. He was only
he had a digestive problem, he said.
He ate chicken when he finally ate again, so he did. But
you got him to eat with that, didn't you?
Yeah,
he said he didn't like the dog food. He loved the food. And it's much healthier to feed our dogs on chicken and rice and pasta and vegetables than it is to give them commercial foods all the time.
Well, I wonder if you can do me a favor, because when he passed away, I never brought him to a kennel. I always had family watch him if I had to go someplace, but he was always with me. I rarely went anywhere. And then we had a bit of a family emergency, and I had to leave him, and he was old. and I hated to leave him, but I had to. And I left him with a neighbor that he didn't know very well. They'd just come to the house, and you know how attached he was to me. For me to actually leave overnight without someone in the house was very rare. In fact, I had never done it, not even for one night, had just someone come to the house like that. But I had to do it. And when I got back, the next weekend, he passed away. He died of bloat. He didn't even die of old age. He got up and yelped, and that was it. And I think, I'm so sorry.
Oh, Donnie.
I just feel a lot of guilt that I can't
share. Please don't, because, darling, you weren't to know. And had you known, you would have done something about it. And many people, when their animals pass, they'll say, do they forgive me? But animals don't think like people. There's nothing to forgive as far as they're concerned. And also, let me tell you, Mary, that is also karmic for both of you. And that was how it was meant to be. That was how he was meant to go. And a lot of people don't realize that. And his time was up. And his time was up, so he would have gone at that time, no matter what. And, you know, we just have to, many people just feel so guilty. And, you know, when you love your animal, this was an emergency. And they understand a certain amount of that, too.
Yeah,
they don't always like it, but they understand what's going on because they're so smart.
Well, I was afraid because he understood that, you know, now I'm in the way, I was afraid he felt like now I'm in the way.
Mary and Sonia.
No, he didn't think that.
Yeah.
They don't think like human beings. That's why they are so wonderful, and we can learn something from them, because they love us no matter what. They're very loyal. They're very faithful. They're always there for us. The relationship with an animal is wonderful, and you know, they sometimes make demands on us when they want to go for a walk, and they certainly let us know. And you don't have to be telepathic to know that, because they'll jump around and they love it. But when did you walk him near water?
Oh, shortly before he died, I took him down to the water.
That's all he remembers. He doesn't remember the bloat so much as the lovely walk, and you walked at the water.
Being alone he doesn't remember being. He's okay,
He's okay, and we're never alone when we die. You know, there's always angels around us, and there's always souls around us that we've been in past lives, and also some of the souls we've known in this lifetime too.
Sonia,
so we never ever die alone.
Sonia, I'm sorry to interrupt, my friends, but we have a bunch of other callers that we need to get to. I'm so sorry, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. I hope that helped you, darling.
Sonia, thank you. I'll get the next book. I appreciate it so much. You have.
Thank you, darling.
And Mary, I want you to let you know that if you go to my website, www.outofthisworld1150.com, next week, this recording will be on the website, and you can download it and listen to it, okay?
Okay.
Yes, for anybody out there, you're welcome to listen to it anytime. It's free, and I welcome you to www.outofthisworld1150.com. And let's go to Monica and the Humane Society in Tacoma.
Hello, Monica.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, dear, and thank you for all you do for the animal kingdom.
Well, we love our work, and it doesn't seem like work, as you probably know when you take
I know that.
Passion.
It doesn't with me. I love it. I love talking to animals.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to. Monica, thank you for coming on the air today. You're live with Sonia Fitzpatrick. She's one of the world's best pet psychic. We have her calling from Texas. And Monica, in just a few words, if you could tell a little bit the listeners a little bit about your work in the Humane Society in Pierce County, the wonderful things you do, and how can people help your organization?
Wonderful. Thank you so much again for the opportunity. As the Humane Society here in Tacoma, we do take care of all kinds of animals all over, Pierce County and even South King County. And, of course, we would love to reunite them with their owners if they've lost their people. And if we are unable to do that, then, of course, we want to find them their new homes and their new people that can care for them. And we are the largest shelter in the state of Washington. So this last year we had just over 13,000 animals that needed to come through our doors for that transitional place until they could be found in another home or however we can help them medically and that sort of thing.
Wonderful. Could you perhaps give people a phone number or a web address where they could make donations, or if they need an animal, to go ahead and visit your facilities to adopt a pet?
Absolutely. Our website is, of course, www.thehumanesociety.org. We do have pets available for adoption online, but we always love for people to come and visit us here in Tacoma at 2608 Center Street. We currently have hundreds of animals here and very, full for the holiday season, and we would love to get them all adopted into their new home so they can be with their humans.
Wonderful. And if you wouldn't mind giving out your phone number too, so people could also call if they like.
Our phone number is area code 253-383-2733.
Wonderful. We have other callers on the line, Monica, but is there a pet that you'd like to ask about, perhaps?
Now, I understood that Sonia was saying, a personal pet, but we do have some shelter pets that we're really having some trouble with. Is that something?
Okay, Monica, are you connected with them?
I have not worked with this one in particular, but if
see what I can pick up from it. I get a bad link when somebody has worked with an animal or has had physical contact. Tell me which one it is and what the name you call him or her.
This girl is Roxy.
Yes.
Is she
a dog or a cat?
She's a dog.
Okay.
She came to
us. Is she a medium-sized dog?
Yes.
Yeah, she just said I'm a medium-sized dog, so I've got her. Go on, Monica.
She came to us on September 1st, so we have had her over 3 months now. She had an injury when she came in, and she's...
Is it on the leg?
Let's see what we had here. There was a leg and also...
Yeah, it's a leg she's telling me, so I've got her.
Okay.
The injury was on the leg.
She has she doesn't do well with the other dogs in the kennel, and we have tried to take all sorts of precautions to kind of visually not overstimulate her and give her plenty of toys and enrichment activities. But she's a handful, and we love her and we want her to find a home, but it's taking a lot of resources.
She's telling me, did they just pick her up? She was wandering loose.
Yes.
Yeah, because she said she was picked up. They picked her up and brought her there. And she was in a state when she came.
Absolutely.
And she's thanking. Who's the lady that works with her?
There are several. There's probably a Jan would be one.
There's one that works with her more than the others. She sees more than the others.
Yep, I'm going to say that's probably Jan, one of our dog walkers.
Yeah, it is Jan. Okay. And she said when she was out, she was beaten up and attacked by other dogs. Mm. And this is one of the reasons why she won't let them get near her. So she needs socializing with dogs, maybe one at a time.
Okay.
Because she was out there on her own.
All right.
And she had to fend for herself. And she was so grateful when she was picked up. So she'd have to, there are places, Jan, that will rehabilitate these dogs, if you look on the internet, which will help them to get over these problems that they've had from the past.
Now, are there...
And she was very hungry, too, she says.
Yes. Yeah, she looked a little underweight.
Yeah, she was really hungry. She had a tough time, Monica. She had a real tough time, and they can't just change that. They have to be socialized, and she'd have to be socialized to get on with other dogs. Or she'd have to go to someone who hasn't got any other animals and could give her a lot of attention. She's had a lot of abuse in her past life, and it's very hard emotionally to get over that, and physically too.
Did she indicate that maybe she has a preference of perhaps the type of dog she would like to
She likes
play
smaller
with?
Dogs. Smaller dogs. And who's the smaller dog? You may not know this, but who's the smaller dog that limps?
That one I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm sure making
sort of notes here. It walks a bit funny, she says.
Okay. Did she like that one?
Well, she's interested in it. She shows interest in it.
Okay, I will find out because she is an
And I think it's the right back leg, she's telling me, of the other dog, of this dog.
Okay.
But she really, you can't just tell a dog, oh, don't do this, because there's much more in it than that. Because she's been out there on her own, she's starved, she's been beaten up by dogs, and she's very, like, so she's going to protect herself now. She's not going to let anyone do that to her again.
Sonia, I'm sorry, and Monica, my apologies. We've got other callers on the line.
Okay, darling. Okay, thank you, Monica.
Thank you so much. We will see about working with Roxy and the little dog with the limp.
Yeah, it walks a bit funny, or it's got a bit of a limp, and it's on one of the back legs, or it skips a bit. Because I haven't got a strong connection here, whereas I do have when I've got the human companion on the phone that's worked with it and knows everything about the dog.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Monica.
Okay. Take care, Monica. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Now we'll go to our next caller, Stephanie in Everett. She's been waiting for a while. Are you there, Stephanie?
I am.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, Sonia. How are you today?
What do you have, darling?
Well, I have several animals, but I'm really interested in my dog, Bo. I think he needs more than I can give him, and I want to know. I don't want to just give up on him.
When you say he wants more than you give him, he says you give him a lot of love.
I do that, but he...
Yeah,
he,
and that's important. So so what is it you feel you don't give him?
Enough walks and enough very active movement for him.
Yes, because he's a hyper dog and he needs a lot of exercise. Is there anyone you could get him to walk him?
Not anyone around me, no.
Because he just needs that exercise. How many animals do you have, Stephanie?
I have four with me.
Four dogs?
No, I have two dogs, two cats.
Okay, two dogs, two cats. Why can't you walk them?
Well, I do walk them. I do, yeah, but not... I think Bo would do well with two walks a day.
And yes.
I can do one, which I do, and I have them off-leash so that they kind of go at their own pace and he's not pulling on me. He gets a better walk. He can disappear around the neighborhood.
Yeah, okay. But he loves you, and he said you're always there, and you talk to him face-to-face, and you kiss him on the head.
Yes.
Oh, he adores you. He's so happy.
So is everything okay between Ginger and me also, the other dog?
Oh, yes, Ginger. Bo said Ginger has a bit of an attitude sometimes.
Yes.
He said, she's got a bit of an attitude, you know, and she just said, you be quiet, I'll talk for myself.
That's
her. She just asked me, am I a dog? I'm going to tell her right now I am, and I'm a human as well. Oh, she finds that interesting. But Ginger's happy.
And
when do you tie your hair back or change your hair sometimes?
Oh, I change it a lot.
She loves it. She said, you're always looking different.
Yep, I do. I change my hair a lot.
Yeah, she said, it's beautiful. I love it, Mum. And when did you change her food? When does she get dry food?
She always gets dry food.
Yeah. She said, I'm fed up with it. Can you give me some wet food?
Oh, absolutely.
She said, I'd like some wet food, if you don't mind, Mum. And it's always good if you can give them a bit of, I'm vegetarian, but if you're eating anything, you know, I cook, pasta's not good if you've got itching and wheat and corn, you know, don't give your dogs wheat and corn if it's got, you've got an itching dog, you know. But she would love, she said, she's a good eater. But
yes,
you can, I cook for mine, I cook ground beef and rice, and I do pasta and chicken and vegetables. And they love that. And then I just put a little bit of very good dog food in. And I give them vitamins as well. And my older dog, glucocosamine, my older dogs. But she's happy.
She's
just got a bit of an attitude. And Bo says, I don't mess with her. I just go along. He said, I'm easygoing.
That's them.
Yeah, he said, I love her. I just let her have everything, he says. And he said, and she is just...
She just has the attitude, but he loves her. And he loves the kitties. He loves the cats, Bo. Oh,
yes, he does.
And one of the cats said Ginger's a rude dog.
Well, yep.
She's a very rude dog, she said.
So and one also, of my cats, Beanie, why does he reminds me sometimes of Al Capone reincarnated.
Oh, darling, that we're all reincarnated over and over again, them too.
Sonia,
and they've all been in different physical forms, Stephanie.
Stephanie, yeah. and Sonia, I'm so sorry.
That's all right, darling, because I always get a lot of crook calls on my show.
That's all right.
When I'm on the show. Thank you, Stephanie.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Sonia, I wish we could run the show longer, but we've got to go off air in about 1 minute. I want to thank you so much for coming on, and can we have you back in a couple of months?
Yes, darling, you call me. I'd love to come back, dear.
Wonderful.
And, I'll just give my web page. Well, you'll probably put my web page on your site anyway. SoniaFitzpatrick.com.
Yes.
And my radio show is every Sunday evening on Sirius and XM, 888-94 stars. I get so many calls, though.
Oh,
it's
wonderful.
Hard to get through sometimes. But, Ted, thank you so much for having me on the show. And it's wonderful that you've got those wonderful people there, Monica helping all the animals. And do tell them they must have tags on them.
Okay.
Every dog needs tagging because many dogs don't get home because they haven't got a tack on.
Right. Okay, I sure will. We will not be broadcasting a week from today on the 20th, but we will have a show on December 27th with Dr. Louis Turi, the best psychic and best astrologer in Europe. He will be giving us his predictions for the coming year, and he's one of the most accurate psychics in the world. I hope you all have a wonderful day. For more information about this show, please see www.outofthisworld1150.com, and I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. Bye-bye and Merry Christmas. In the year 45.